14. The Speed of Sound. A.C. Penny, MSc. This passage is taken from Everyday Heat, Light and Sound, 1946, a book reprinted in 1947 and 1949. The author was headmaster of a county modern school for boys when he wrote it. Another of his books is Everyday Electricity and Magnetism. Here he is discussing early experiments with sound and its speed through the air. Solids transmit sound very well. Try holding a wooden stick against part of a machine and place your ear against the stick. The movement of the ball bearings can be clearly heard. This is a good way of finding the exact source of trouble in a motor car engine, which sounds as if it is wrong, and yet gives no information of where the trouble is. The cocoa tin telephone system is another proof of the way in which solids transmit sounds. Two tins connected by a string fixed through a hole in the bottom of each tin and stretched tight form a good telephone over a few yards. A message whispered into one tin, held against the mouth, is clearly heard by your partner if he holds his ear against the other tin. It is probably a good thing that sound cannot travel through a vacuum, for we are thus limited to earth-made sounds. The violent disturbances which are seen occasionally in the sun, for example, may affect our magnetism and our radio. They do not affect our ears, which is a very good thing for our peace of mind. If we have used our eyes and ears, we have already realized that sound takes time to travel through the air. The sound of thunder nearly always follows the lightning flash, although they happen together. And the appearance of a white cloud above a distant ship or train tells us, before anything is heard, that its whistle has sounded. Just how fast does sound travel through the air? In the earliest experiments, guns were fired to produce the sound and also a flash, which at night acted as a signal to show that the experiment had started. An observer standing, say, 20 miles away, started his stopwatch when he saw the flash and stopped it when he heard the explosion. The time taken by light to travel a distance as short as this can be ignored, so the time noted was that required by sound to complete its journey. The speed was easily calculated. It was found to be greater with the wind than against it. To overcome this difficulty, guns were fired at an agreed time at both ends of the measured distance, and the average of the two speeds was taken. If one experiment was helped by the wind, the other was hindered to an equal extent. At first sight, it is difficult to see why improvements on this method were necessary or even possible. Yet many have been made giving more accurate results. The observer had to notice the flash and then start his watch. He had to hear the report and then stop his watch. A very short time may pass between the receipt of the signals and the results on the watch. In more modern experiments, the human observer is not used. The time of the firing of the gun and the time of the arrival of its sound at the distant station are both recorded electrically. The speed of sound in air at ordinary temperatures is about 1,100 feet per second, which is about 1 mile in 5 seconds, or about 700 miles per hour. The speed of sound increases slightly with a rise in temperature and falls with a decrease in temperature. It is not affected by the pressure of the air.